のチームの攻撃のコラボ
ライトオンファイヤー。
さあさあ準備はいいか、行くぞファイヤー。ボスアタックオーダーラップルーパー、もうどうしたトロッコ、お前はみんな本気で来いか。
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of World of Podcast, the World of Warcraft podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the changes coming in patch 1.10, which should be live fairly shortly. So as a result, I figured J-pop would be adequate for the beginning. Don't ask me why, I just felt like doing it because it's a crazy, crazy video, and I'll put a video of it up on my site just because you really should see how insane these J-pop singers and their videos are. You really should. So, without further ado, good thing I can speak, let's get into the changes in 1.10. Of course, the biggest change in 1.10 has to do with the priest class. This is the priest talent review. Just looking over what they have here, I'm not going to go over everything, but all racial priest spell replacements have had their training costs reduced. Shadow Form now reduces all physical damage, as the tooltip suggests, both melee and ranged. The human racial talent for priest has been redesigned. It's a bunch of other stuff. Obviously, they're getting all of their talent points refunded for free. Everyone gets a free respec. There's a bunch of new talents in there, a bunch of reworked talents. All in all, it looks pretty good. They're going to get a major boost to the Holy and Discipline tree. And Shadow, even though it really didn't need a buff, got a slight buff as well. Of course, the other big feature is the weather effects that have been added to certain areas of the game. These areas are Elwynn Forest, Tirisfal Glades, Dunmoreau, Darkshore, Alterac Mountain, Stranglethorn Vale, Feralis, Ungoro Crater, Tenaris, Winterspring, and Silithus. It should be noted that these weather effects are completely optional. You can actually turn them down or maybe even completely off. I'm not exactly sure if you can turn them completely off or if just moving the slider down would effectively turn them off in your video options. Also, you should also note that the weather effects are not always on. They will come in spurts sometimes, we'll say, in Elwynn Forest. You'll get like a little shower here and there, and then maybe now and then it'll be a bigger storm. So this is just something a little extra to add. They claim they're adding some more weather effects as time goes on, so we'll have to see. I'm sure there's a couple other areas we could definitely think of that would have good weather effects possible. The only ones that I've seen so far have been in Silithus, and that was a sandstorm. But again, like I said, they're not on all the time. They are intermittent and will come and go as time goes on. Another big change that's coming in this new patch is to Hunters. Much like what happened with Warriors and Rogues a few patches back, Hunters are now getting normalized attack speeds for both aim shot and multi-shot. What this means is that when calculating the attack power bonus, every gun, bow, and crossbow will act as if it had a 2.8 speed. What this means is that slower bows, guns, and crossbows will do slightly less damage, and faster bows, guns, and crossbows will do slightly more damage. This was probably much more of a PvP reason than a PvE, but we'll find out. I'm sure everyone will adjust. The only people that really seem to be complaining are the few people that have the crossbow that drops off of Chromagus, and I do not remember the name of that crossbow, but it has like a 3.4 speed, which made it ungodly powerful for those two attacks. So that is coming in 1.10 as well, and it's just a change that everybody's going to have to get used to, especially the hunters who it's going to affect. Although, honestly, gun hunters will probably see a benefit out of this because guns tend to have a faster speed than bows anyway. So it's really going to be the bow and crossbow hunters that seem to feel like they've been nerfed. But as I said, it's not something that's going to truly be game-breaking for the class or anything else like that. It wasn't game-breaking for the Rogues, and it wasn't game-breaking for the Warriors. So I'm sure Hunters can get through it just as much as they have. And of course, the other really big change in 1.10 is the new Dungeon 2 armor set. This is the next step up between your blue class sets and the Tier 1 Molten Core sets. These are upgrades to the current Tier 1, which is kind of a pain in the ass if you've already vendored or disenchanted it, if you've got something better, but, you know, maybe still need one or two pieces. And the big reason being that it's a quest line, but it's a very linear quest line. You actually have to go through each part to get to the next part. So the first part is the bracers. And then I don't exactly remember what the next part is. I'm not really bothering to go through those quests too much. I think it might be the belt, but you have to have the bracers to even start the quest line. So for anyone who has upgraded their gear in any way, from Zul'Garub, from Dire Maul, even from, you know, Molten Core, whatever, it's just going to be a pain in the ass because you're going to have to go back and refarm your old set. So take that for what you will. However, each of the blue class sets, well, I guess what we can call the Dungeon 1 sets now, have had their bonuses revised. So they will no longer be giving the same bonuses they used to give. I'm going to mention the Wild Heart one only because it's the one I went to the test server with. And the new bonus for Wild Heart is for 2 pieces plus 200 armor. 4 pieces is plus 26 attack power. 6 pieces, increase healing and damage done by spells and effects by up to 15. 6 pieces, chance when struck to gain 300 mana, 10 rage, or 40 energy. And 8 pieces is plus 8 all resistances. Now, the new Dungeon 2 sets, of which I have pictures of up on my website at worldofpodcast.blogspot.com, has the exact same bonuses, however they are in reverse order. So for the Feral Heart set, which is what the new Druid set is called, two pieces will give you +8 all resistances. Four gives it a chance when struck to gain 300 mana, 10 rage, or 40 energy. Six increases damage and healing by spells by up to 15. Six pieces also gives you +26 attack power, and eight pieces gives you +200 armor. The reason that they did it this way was so that as you upgraded the pieces, you weren't without your set bonuses, for too long if you already had the whole sets. It should also be noted that some of the blue sets have had their stats revised. I did not notice this too much on the Wild Hearts set, mainly because my main only has the gloves left from the and the shoulders from the Wild Hearts set. But the new bonuses are pretty nice. That chance when struck to gain 300 mana actually procs fairly often. And I was quite happy with that, especially when I was tanking something in bear form or something like that, and that would let me get off another maul, we'll say. Overall, the quest line, I don't know, it's nice that it's a quest line so that as long as you have the pieces and you get the items, you know you'll be able to get it, as long as you can complete the quests. However, one of the problems I have with these quest lines, besides the fact that it is so linear, whereas I only want to really upgrade my gloves and my hat when I finally ever get it. I'm not going to be able to unless I have the rest of the set. Yeah, that kind of pisses me off. It's just like, yeah, time sink, thanks. But one of the other problems that I have with the quest line is that every single class does the exact same quest. The only difference that I've seen so far is for the bracers, and that is the Horde goes to Silithus to farm the items they need, and the Alliance goes to Winterspring to farm the items they need. And let me tell you, on that test server, there wasn't a Frost Saber or a bear alive in Winterspring that first day I was there. I mean, it took 3-4 hours to farm up just the 15 blood samples you needed. So, but, you know, that's just part of what's coming with the quests. They weren't supposed to be super easy, although the bracer part is pretty easy. The next part, you have to go to Gadgetzan, and then you have to give this goblin all sorts of items, most of which on the test realm you were given, although some classes got gypped a little bit, druids especially on the Alliance side, didn't get all of their items for the quest, whereas most of the other classes did. And druids also didn't get any money to start out with, because each quest takes money. The bracers alone is 20 gold. And druids also didn't get their flight points. Now, granted, the entire Horde didn't get their flight points either, so can't really bitch too much about that. But the not having any gold for these quests meant that I had to waste additional time doing extra quests to get the gold, thanks to the new XP to gold system, which people have figured out is for every 16 experience points equals one silver piece that you would get. So if you go back and do the lobby quests, I mean, you're only going to get, you know, a couple copper here and there, but that would be because of the fact that those quests are only giving you 5-10 experience points. But hey, it's better than nothing. You know, it wasn't too hard for me to do some of those quests and just get up 20 gold real fast. I went and looked at a couple other quests too, like one or two of the quests that I had done for Dire Maul ended up being worth like close to 7 gold, and I was like, wow, I should have just waited until 1.10 to do them. But hindsight is 20/20. It is a bit of an incentive to quest at level 60. However, again, I am of the mind that I really don't want to do too much questing at 60 until the expansion comes out, because I'm going to need those experience points. But, let's see, getting back to the Dungeon 2 set, since I went off topic a little bit there. After the Tanaris part, which is like 5 or 6 pieces long, I think, actually, when you if you were to go and get all the items, and then you have to, he sends you to like three other places or something. I didn't even bother because I didn't have all the items. The next part after that is to do a Strath home run, an undead Strath home run. And from the time you enter the courtyard with the ziggurats, you only have 45 minutes to kill the Baron, or else you don't complete the quest. So that's been proving to be a little bit difficult, even with the items that they've given us on the test realm, which is your entire blue set if you'd use one of the pre-made 60s, as well as Blackwing Lair, Zolgarub, and Molten Core Epics, which is kind of funny when it comes to like trinkets, weapons, everything else like that. For example, all spellcasters are starting off with the Staff of Shadow Flame, which drops off Nefarious. So, yeah, that's a wee bit of a different thing than what most people who would be really be going for these sets would have. But there are a lot of people saying they're having problems. They're only getting up to around Ramstein, and time is running out. Other people are complaining that they'll kill Ramstein, but then it might take, and this does happen even on the live realms, it might take a minute and a half to 2 minutes for the Black Guard to pop out from the Baron's ziggurat. And that's just, you know, that's time wasted on that quest. Haven't really seen too much about what's after that, because as I've said, most of the people talking about it on the Test Realm forums have not completed this quest yet. It's apparently not easy. You have to skip pulls. You have to basically go nonstop. Your healers just have to, they just have to drink, you know, while you're pulling the next group, that sort of stuff. So it's going to take people a bunch of times to get through this. It should also be noted that Stratholm, Skylomance, and Blackrock Depths have had their player limit lowered to 5 people. So only 5-man groups are going to be able to go through them. And Blackrock Spire has had its player limit lowered to 10 people. So we're going to have to see how this goes. Now, I'm of a mixed feeling about these new caps. I'm going to say this now. I prefer doing Stratholm 5-man because it's a lot more money when I do it 5-man. But at the same time, I can see that certain classes are going to have problems getting groups to go. Rogues, because there's about 80 bajillion of them on every single server, they're going to have a problem getting into groups. You're going to have a problem if you're a hunter in a lot of cases, because, again, 80 billion hunters everywhere. So, you know, certain classes might have a hard time. In the 5-man group, if the group doesn't have a paladin on the Alliance side or a shaman on the Horde side, it might be hard to get in as a druid, because what's the big thing that the shaman and paladin can do that you can't as a druid? They can rez anytime they're out of combat. And as a druid, you only have a rez once every half hour. So there's going to be a few classes that might have a hard time. It's probably going to be better to be going through as guilds over going through as pickup groups. It really will, because with the 5-man cap, you're probably going to see a lot more groups looking specifically for priests, specifically for warriors, and specifically for mages, because that's the holy trinity, basically. And this might cause problems. There are other people complaining about the new caps because maybe they're in smaller guilds, and just as a guild, they like to go run Stratholm or Skylomance and do it 10-man because that gets most, if not all, of their guildmates in there. So they have kind of a valid complaint, too. But we don't know if this is, you know, going to go completely live yet. The patch notes are always subject to change, and we'll see if that goes live. I'm not really going to care too much. Like I said, it's more money when you run it with the correct amount of people, because Stratholm is always tuned for 5-man, and so was Skylomance, even pre-nerf for both of them. And Blackrock Spire, lower Blackrock Spire was always tuned for 5 people, and upper was always tuned for 10 people. And I have much better success in 10-man groups in upper than I do in 15 anyway, so there's no challenge for me there. It doesn't mean anything. So, we'll have to see. The new armor sets, as I said, I have pictures of them up on the website, worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Don't expect any big changes. It's basically the same set you've been wearing, just a different color. The only real graphical update that I've seen is the Druid set has open-toed boots. Yay. So, you know, there are some things that I look at and I just say, some of it just really smacks of laziness on the parts on the part of the developers, because they could have done more. They could have varied the quests so that each class had different parts for the different pieces, instead of saying, hey, everybody's going to do this 15 blood samples, everybody's going to go do this dude and gadgets, and everybody's going to go do the Baron. Now, I could see overlapping the Baron quest. It also would help people make those five-man groups. But not every part of the quest should be the same for each class. I really do feel that way, because it just says, hey, we made this quest. Okay, give it to everybody. We're done. Let's go work on Naxxramas a little more. That's pretty much what it really boils down to. And it can be annoying, you know? People were hoping for something, and they're getting what could be considered something, but it really what seems to be the most minimal amount of effort possible put forth by the development team when it comes to developing the content. Also added in this patch is a new Druid quest at level 52 that begins in Ungoro Crater. You have to gather a few items, and then you have to go stab a devil sore with this poisoned knife or something. That's always fun. And then finally you have to go into Sunken Temple, and then you get a choice of three rewards. There are two chess pieces, I believe, and one staff. I'd have to look that up. I'm fairly certain it was two chess pieces and one staff, though. I know there's a staff and at least one chess piece. And that helps, because druids don't otherwise have any quests after level 16. I also mentioned the recent change to Strathholm and Scholomance and Blackrock Depths and Blackrock Spire. And also, the developers have re-itemized some of the drops. They've gotten rid of some of the green stuff and given a little bit more blue. They have updated some of the stats on certain items. For example, somebody in the test realm has said that the Kindling Stave has been updated. The current version is a staff, 45.9 DPS, 25 spirit, 10 stamina, 10 fire resistance, requires level 48. The new one, apparently that drops in BRD, is 10 stamina, 12 intellect, 13 spirit, 10 fire resist, and plus 1 crit with spells. So they've upped some of the stats on some of the items. They have added new items as well. Let's see if I can find a new item. And I will let you know. Oh, here's a druid item, ironically enough. Fire Moss Boots, 112 armor, requires level 52, 8 stamina, 18 intellect, and up to plus 20 healing. Let's see. Oh, there's a new staff in Scholomance from Jandis Barov, which is called the Staff of Metanoia. 15 stamina, 15 intellect, 13 spirit, requires level 57, and increases done by spells and effects by up to 33. So, you know, that's outside of Molten Core and Zul'Garub, that is probably the best pure healing staff. So, that always helps. Gandling apparently drops a new ring that they haven't listed the name of yet. But the supposed stats on this are 12 stamina, 16 damage and healing and plus one spell crit, so it's a caster ring. There's a new boss in Upper Blackrock Spire. There's supposedly new bosses in all of the instances, at least Stratholme, Scholomance, and Blackrock Spire. I'm not really sure about Blackrock Depths. His name is Lord Valthalak, and he drops Lord Valthalak's Staff of Command, 53.8 DPS, 11 stamina, 10 intellect, plus 30 damage and healing, plus 1 spell hit, and it requires level 58. With that spell hit, that's much more of a mage warlock staff and a balanced druid and possibly shaman. So, I mean, it's some nice stuff that they've added. There's a thread on the Test Realm forums, which is 4 pages long right now, or at least it was when I clicked on it before I started recording. Let's see. It might be further. But they're trying to keep track of the new items that people have found. They're up to 5 pages now. So this will be something that can help out. It'll help with the gear imbalance a little bit as the items are done. And if you already have these items, they've already said that they're going to it'll change to the newer version as far as the stats go. It'll be, you know, if you had something that Gabe will just, you know, throw out a random number, plus 10 strength, plus 10 agility. But now it gives plus 12 strength, plus 12 agility, and plus 10 stamina. Your current item will give the new set bonus, or the new item bonus. So they're retroactively doing that, which will be a nice big help, so people won't be like, man, now I gotta go re-get it, and everything else like that. I'd probably like to see what they've done to the Trindlehaven staff, but I don't know if they've actually listed that, because until I get a better staff, that's the staff I'm using. But anyway, I don't think we really need to deal with that so much. So, LBRS. They did change the Trindlehaven staff. They lowered the intellect a little bit, but it now has plus 12 stamina, plus 25 intellect. I believe it had plus 30 intellect before. And now it does plus 14 damage and healing, so that's not too bad at all. That's going to help me out a little bit. It's going to put me up to 239 healing. Hey, I can deal with that. Ooh, Cadaverous got... Wow. Cadaverous just got massively buffed. Well, for rogues. It's actually a little bit gimped for feral druids. Cadaverous, all of, at least the leggings, the belt, the walk, the boots, and the gloves have all changed. Instead of having the plus strength and plus agility that they used to have, the leggings now have 18 stamina, 52 attack power. The belt has 12 stamina, 40 attack power. Walkers have 20 stamina, 24 attack power. And the gloves have 9 stamina, 44 attack power. That's a major, major buff for rogues. I would definitely, even as a feral druid, I would go for them. But if I was a rogue, hell yeah, I'd go for that over Shadowcraft any day. So we're going to have to see what happens with this. Hopefully the new items and the revised items will definitely be worth it, and we'll be able to sit there and have a little fun with this stuff. You know, maybe the new bosses will have some neat items that we can get, make it actually kind of worth running those again. And supposedly, I can't verify this because, again, I have not been running these instances, really. I did like a quick UBRS pickup group. We only had 8 people, and we got up to Rend. And by the time we got to Rend, we only had 5 people left. So, that didn't work. We killed like the first 2 groups of mobs, and then they were just coming too fast for 5 people to kill. But supposedly they've upped the drop rate on a few other items, including the blue set pieces. So maybe some of the people that have been having really bad luck with their set pieces aren't going to have quite as bad a luck anymore. Also, certain epic items like the Headmaster's Charge from Headmaster Gandling. And what the hell is Rivendare's... The sword that Rivendare drops. The Rune Blade of Rivendare, is that what it's called? I think that might be what it's called. Let me just take a quick look. That's what Alakazam is for. But that supposedly has also gotten an upgrade. I said search. Let's see. Yeah, the Rune Blade of Baron Rivendare. So, that supposedly has had its drop rate upped as well. It is an epic sword. So, as I say, we'll see how it goes. We'll see what this does. We'll see if it's going to make running some of these instances worth it for people who are beyond them. And, you know, as I say, there's always money involved in there. When you five-man Stratholme, I mean, you can walk out with like 5 or 6 gold just in money drops. And then you get, you know, all the other items that drop in there that you can sell, especially the gray items. Some of them sell for a gold a piece. You can make a lot of money in there, which might be just enough incentive for some people to start running them again. And just a little talk about the actual performance of the test realms. They've been exceedingly good. They're using some of the new servers that they bought to test out the test realms, and they've been able to handle pretty nice loads, lots of people in areas. When I was on the first day, I was in Winter Spring, and there had to be 400 to 500 other people in a small area for a long period of time, and there was barely any lag. There was no real issues when it came to pretty much anything at that point. Now, I wasn't on there the past day or two, and some people have been complaining that there was some lag issues happening the past day or two, but they also took the test servers down yesterday at about 1 o'clock Pacific time in the afternoon so that they could do some maintenance, so hopefully that issue's fixed. The only major problem that's been happening with 1.10 has to do with the boats, zeppelins, and elevators around the world. There was some sort of crash bug happening where when the boat or zeppelin made it to a certain point on the docks that they've joined, people, if they were too close to it, would hang really badly. And in some cases, it would just completely kick them from the server, or they'd have to force quit the application. So, but a lot of users sent in error reports and some other things, and they think that they have the code locked down as to like the exact line basically that is causing the problem. So they should hopefully have that fixed very shortly, which will allow us much easier travel from one land to the other. So that should be good. Another thing that they've added in this patch is what they're calling final destination flight points. And what you do with these is you basically, whenever you go up to a flight master, you just choose your final destination. It gives you the total cost, and then it just sends you on the flight path to there. And it'll even show you a line basically showing you which flight paths you're going to hit along the way. But you don't have to stop and, click the new flight path. It'll just fly over the new flight path and then take the money from that flight path to the next flight path. So for Alliance, we'll say you could actually go directly from Gadgetzan to Everlook. And the way you do it is it would take you from Gadgetzan to Thalinar on the border of Thousand Needles and Feralis. And then from there, it would take you to Feathermoon Stronghold in Feralis. Then from there, it would send you up to Aberdeen. And then from Aberdeen to Moonglade and Moonglade to Everlook. So it would show you a line that did that. It would show you the line of where you're going to go. But you won't actually stop. You'll just fly over the new flight, the flight masters, and just continue on your way. And it worked really well. I mean, I flew from the Eastern Plaguelands to Menethil Harbor once, and just to see how it would do. And the only thing I didn't like was it didn't just, like, send me there. It actually sent me right outside of Ironforge, and then it sent me back. Like, I didn't go into Ironforge, which was nice. But it sends you near Ironforge so that you start up the next flight path, which I guess is a little easier than just adding a new flight path directly to certain areas, because you'd look at it and you'd go, no, you know, maybe they'd have to I don't know, maybe it was just more coding than they really wanted to do. Who knows? But it still worked out nice. It was extremely helpful. So this should be a nice addition that people have been looking for when it comes to flight paths. Now, as with all patches for World of Warcraft, there are some bugs that get introduced, and some of them affect only certain classes, and these things are just sort of annoying. People have been complaining about certain procs from spells that they have talented into not working, stuff like that. The biggest thing that people are complaining about, though, is there has been a change to Shadowmeld. And now the way Shadowmeld works is when you begin casting a spell, you come out of Shadowmeld. So no more hearthing, no more mounting up while Shadowmelded, which kind of a pain in the ass for Night Elves. But the problem is that this has also affected stealth just for any race that has rogues. So some of the rogues have been complaining that Sprint, which specifically says does not break stealth, has been breaking stealth when they activate it. They've also said that other things that specifically say they do not break stealth, such as Distract, have been breaking stealth immediately. Although they did fix the bug with Distract, where if a shaman had lightning shield, it would pull you out of Distract, so that's kind of nice. But of course, if Distract is pulling you out of stealth automatically, it doesn't really matter. Apparently the Distract bug isn't something that's happening all the time, though, so this is something that's going to have to be looked at. The Sprint one, some people are saying it's happening more often than others, so again, it's something that's going to have to be looked into. Obviously, the Shadowmeld nerf, we can call it, was done because the Horde players were constantly complaining about Night Elves with a, you know, aim shot from Hunters from stealth. And that's actually a pretty valid complaint. It was kind of overpowered that a Night Elf Hunter could be stealthed, basically, and get off a hit that would do 2,000 plus damage, depending on their weapon, sometimes higher. And of course, you know, by the time the person could react, because they've just been hit by the aim shot, they're getting hit with a multi-shot as well, and then maybe an auto shot before they actually finally get to do anything, and if there were cloth wearer, they were pretty much dead. So it was necessary for Hunters to have that ability removed, because Blizzard has been saying for a long time they don't want people to have a massive first strike capability, except for rogues with ambush, because that's one of the rogues' mainstays. But Hunters weren't supposed to be able to do 2,000-3,000 points of damage out of stealth. That's one of the reasons why mages lost their invisibility a long time ago, is because people would get pyroblasted for, you know, 1,500, 2K from, you know, somewhere they had no idea where the thing was. So rogues are also affected by this. Applying poisons will bring you out of stealth immediately, as you start, not at the end like it used to. You can't hearth in stealth. You can't mount up in stealth. Same things. But apparently there are a lot of people whining about this change. And I can see some of the reasons why. Because certain classes didn't really have any sort of defense mechanism if they chose a Night Elf, except for Shadowmeld. So if you were a Night Elf priest, okay, there was one overpowered thing where you could mind control somebody and no one would know where you were. But other than that, there's no real reason to make a Night Elf priest anymore. The Night Elf priest racial pretty much blows compared to a dwarf or a human racial, so probably going to see a lot of people stop rolling Night Elf priests, as their one big advantage over the other two races is now pretty gone. And, you know, we'll see. A lot of other people are complaining because now it's, as they say, you can't say that the Horde doesn't have better racial abilities than the Alliance now. The only really good Alliance ability anymore, and it only works for PvE, is the human diplomacy one, which gives them an extra rep bonus. So, you know, compare that to almost anything except for trolls on the Horde side. Tauren get 5% more hit points, they get an AoE stun, you get the undead with Will of the Forsaken and Cannibalize, you get orcs with their extra 25% chance to resist stuns, which that can be really annoying. And I find it funny when people are like, well, it only affects one class. It's like, no, there's a bunch of classes that can have stuns. Warriors have stuns, they have their charge stun, their intercept stun. If they're specced into maces, they can get a stun off of maces. Druids can spec into Starfire and get a stun, but now against an orc it's pretty useless. Obviously rogues have a very hard time stun locking orcs because they've got a base 30% chance to resist stuns. So hunters can spec into concussion shot and that can have a stun. So, I mean, you look at all this stuff and people go, what's the point? There's no doubt now in a lot of people's minds that the Horde just has better racial abilities than the Alliance. And to that I say, you know what? They do, but only for PvP. For PvE, the Alliance still tends to have better racials. So blame Blizzard on that. Blizzard has made the Horde the PvP racial kings, and the Alliance the PvE racial kings. I don't know what you want to say, but, you know, basically what they've turned Shadowmeld into now is just a way to go AFK, and even that, it's not great, because it's really easy to detect once you get near somebody. So we'll have to see what goes on with this. We'll have to see if they fix the bugs that this has introduced into stealth. And the big thing being, are these bugs going to be removed before 1.10 goes live? Again, one of the big problems people have with the public test realms is when the test realms go up, basically 90% of what you see on the test realms is going to go live, whether it's buggy or not. And it's something I've complained about before, but again, we'll have to see. Hopefully, you know, they've got this, the boat and zeppelin elevator bug apparently narrowed down to the precise line of code. So hopefully they'll fix that. But at the same time, there have been a lot of other bugs that got introduced that didn't get fixed for a long time after people complained about them on the public test realms. So it can kind of go either way when it comes to the public test realms. It's either, well, it's a bug and we're going to have to live with it for, you know, a couple hot fix patches, or maybe even full version patches, like with the Druid's Ferocious Bite bug, or it's going to maybe be fixed and not be as big a deal when it hits the live realms. We'll have to see. I can't really say. It goes either way. There have been some bugs that have been fixed, and there have been other bugs that have gone on for months after the patch comes out. So you can't really say that telling them about these bugs in the test realm is going to be good or bad for you, because you just can't assume that it's going to be fixed, but you also can't assume that it's not going to be fixed. It's just the way life is. Anyway, we're getting a little long here. I'm going to do what I originally planned on doing for this episode, which is the noob-friendly introduction to classes, and I'll start that with the next episode. It's just with the test realms up and everything, I wanted to get a chance to check out 1.10 and give you guys some information on it, and that's what I did for this cast. So, I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. We'll get together We'll talk about classes, and you guys can then flame me or whatever. Remember, if you have any comments, questions, whatever, send me an email, unclethursday@gmail.com. You can also check out my site, worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Leave comments there. You can join my Frapper map directly from my website and show me where you're listening from. Show me that you're a male, female, small, furry woodland creature, and those small furry woodland creatures are growing in size, which is good. I expect to see more small furry woodland creatures out there. So, until next time.